Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning into our Every Nation channel. And as always, I want to let you know, God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so here's what I want to do. I want to take us back to 2012. Man, Hurricane Sandy ripped through the Northeast. It crippled and disabled everyone and everything in the region. Man, power was out, all kinds of things. And so just to let you know how poor of a father and a provider I am, my daughter and I were kind of at home during that whole time without power. And me being the unresourceful guy that I am, we didn't have flashlights. We didn't have a generator. Like, we had nothing. We were just straight up roughing it. What we did have was three Yankee candles. You know the ones that smell? Those were our three lighting sources for the house. And so the kitchen was brown sugar. We had the bathroom was lavender. And the living room was green apple, all right? I still remember to this day. And so I did eventually make it to the grocery store when they finally opened up. And I purchased some more candles. But unfortunately, I bought Hanukkah candles. And so they did not last long, nor did they give off much light, all right? And so swinging a miss. So you don't want me in your life when there's an emergency. But listen, I mean, Hurricane Sandy, it cost $70 billion of damage here in the Northeast. And so, man, everyone and everything was affected except for one thing. Do you know that the marine life was unaffected by Hurricane Sandy? Do you know that fish, they've trained themselves when they sense the storm coming in, they know to go deep. In fact, they'll go down some 26 feet down into the water, and all hell can be breaking loose on the surface, but 26 feet deep, it's peaceful, it's tranquil, and you know what? Here's what I want you to know. God made you to live 26 feet deep, all right? And so, do you know in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus and his disciples, they were going to cross the Sea of Galilee. And as they were heading, sailing across the Sea of Galilee, a tremendous tempest, a storm blew up. And it was so terrifying that this group of trained fishermen were terrified that they were going to lose their life. Do you remember what Jesus was doing? Yeah, Jesus was sleeping. He was asleep at the front of the boat. Why? Because Jesus, he lived his life 26 feet deep, that all hell could be breaking loose around him, and it didn't matter. He had a peace that passes understanding on the inside of him. In fact, then he would go on to say this in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give it to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so, man, God has made available to his followers a supernatural divine peace that when the world sees it, it's unbelievably attractive. And so we've just began a series we've just called Uncommon. And the big idea is this, that God has called you to live an uncommon life. That if you're a Christ follower today, do you know his very spirit dwells on the inside of you? Get that. His super resides on the inside of your natural, and it makes you a supernatural human being. That God has called you to live an uncommon life. And today we're going to talk about uncommon peace. And for the record, you know that there has been a group of Jesus followers who took seriously the words of Jesus that we've received his peace, and we're to let not our heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, and it led to a spectacular life. And so let me give you Exhibit A is a man by the name of Polycarp. He was an early church father back in 155 AD. Polycarp, the name Polycarp, it means much fruit. And he was a man that so passionately loved Jesus, he lived an uncommon life, and he bore much fruit with his life. He was actually a disciple of the Apostle John. And get this, he also became Rome's most wanted Christian, right? And so he was tracked down, but rather than run away from his captors, Polycarp, he actually cooked them a meal. when the Roman soldiers arrived at his home to arrest him, this elderly man asked if he could make them a meal. He cooked them a meal so he could have time to pray. He prayed 1 hour before they took him away. You know why? Because Polycarp knew, hey, for what's ahead of me, I got to get 26 feet deep, right? And so as they took him away to Caesar in front of the Roman Colosseum, Caesar gave him the option. He says, revile the Christ and I will release thee. And here was Polycarp's response. He says, 86 years I have served him and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? And so Caesar, he said, he's to be executed by fire. And so they were supposed to nail him to a stake and burn him alive. And as they went to nail his wrists into the stake, the Polycarp, he said this. He says, he who gives me strength to endure the fire will enable me to do so without the help of your nails. And with that, man, he held on to the stake and they lit him on fire. And as the blazing fire raged all around him, Polycarp didn't burn. It was as if that he was like a modern day Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. It was as if the uncommon peace of God made him fireproof. In fact, rather than the smell and the stench of burning flesh, the Colosseum was filled with the fragrance of frankincense. Do you know frankincense is the predominant fragrance you find in the holy place, in the temple of God, right? And so they were so freaked out that finally a Roman guard he stabbed Polycarp, killing him. And as his blood flowed out, it began to extinguish the flames. And so after that moment, the entire Colosseum, those people were forever changed because they witnessed firsthand this idea of uncommon peace. Let me give you another one. Many of you will be familiar with John Wesley. He's the founder of the Methodists. And so here's John Wesley's story. He like grew up in the church. He was a Jesus guy. He knew God. He knew about God, but he didn't necessarily know God. But he was adamant he was going to give his life to the ministry. And as he was sailing to the Americas, the ship he was sailing on, it hit this tempest storm and it broke out. And as water waves were spilling over onto the boat, and the hull was like cracking, and it was like all hell was breaking loose. Everyone on the ship was in a panic except for one group of people. It was this group of Moravians. Moravians are a group of Protestant believers who passionately love God. They were founded by a guy, Ludwig van Zinderdorf, and he actually started 100 years of constant prayer going on. I mean, these people were zealous for Jesus. And when the storms of life hit them, what did they do? While everyone else was freaking out, they were singing hymns and quoting Psalms. The peace of God was on their life. And the storm passed, but Wesley, he couldn't shake what he saw in these people. He's like, these people know Jesus better than I do. And it was at that time that their peace provoked him to pursue God even more and more. And because of that, Wesley, he became born again. Do you see the transforming power of the uncommon peace of God? It changed John Wesley. And so, listen, so that's Polycarp and Wesley. And now let me use me as an example, all right? This is an example of what not to do, all right? And so can I I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable here, but listen, I'm just kind of wired to be a people pleaser and a perfectionist. And I got news for you. That makes me unbelievably vulnerable to anxiety and stress. Here's the reason why. I can't control either of those things. I can't make people like me, and I can't be perfect. There's only one perfect man, and his name was Jesus. And so here's the irony. Pastor Joel Osteen was in doing kind of some crusades in the area, and so they were meeting at the Prudential Center down there, and so all, a bunch of pastors were coming, supporting the event. Prudential Center was packed with like some 19, 20,000 people in there. And I was supposed to get up and pray in front of these 20,000 people, pray. And I was supposed to pray the peace of God, despite the fact I was a nervous wreck on the inside. I was worried what people would think. I would hope I would represent Jesus and our church well, all this kind of stuff. And listen, Jesus doesn't want us to walk on that. And so today, when I talk to you about pursuing and acquiring the peace of God, man, I've been on a lifelong journey to do this. And I think we're going to find some answers that help us today. You and I were created to walk in an uncommon peace. We were called to live 26 feet deep, all right? And if you don't believe me, we can just go all the way back to the creation narrative. Like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we see six times God creates. He says, it's good, it's good, it's good. The seventh time he creates man, and he says, oh, this is very good. And throughout the narrative, you can feel this rhythm. And this harmony, God creates and it's good, God creates and it's good. And this rhythm and this harmony, it's called shalom. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. It doesn't just mean a lack of conflict. It means that there's nothing broken and nothing lacking. Like shalom is how life was designed to work in perfect peace and harmony. But unfortunately, Genesis chapter 3 happens. Adam and Eve sin against God, and what, shalom? It's just shattered. Man, now there's everything's broken. Everything is lacking, right? Shalom has been shattered, right? And here's the bad thing, is that, do you know that our heart, at the very deepest level, it still longs to get back to Eden. Our heart longs for peace, for shalom. Listen, do you know, have you ever paid attention? Like, listen, I'm a fan of therapists and psychologists. I'm a fan. And most often, they're prescribing quite often to meditate. And so I'm a fan of meditation. It just depends on what you're meditating on. And here's what's funny. They'll often say to combat stress and anxiety, they'll have you listen to, what do they have you listen to? A rainforest, right? We hear the trickling rain, the chirping of the insects. What they'll have you listen to, the rolling in and out of the ocean's tide, right? Or what will they have you do, man? You'll just all these different sounds. You're hearing the sounds of nature, the sounds of creation. What is that? That's our heart longing to get back to Eden, the Garden of Eden that somehow, some way, our soul remembers. Listen, many of you know that if you're a man anxious and full of stress, that you look for moments just to retreat, man, and unplug from the world. And where do you go? Man, you go to mountains and oceans. Why? In the hopes of finding shalom in creation. Maybe if you, man, that's too big league for you. Maybe you're going to lakes, into nature, right? But you're trying, this is your soul's attempt to get back to God, to get back to Eden, that place of shalom, perfect peace, nothing broken and nothing lacking. In fact, the early church father, Augustine said this, it says, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Him. We find our rest in Almighty God. We don't find it through other exterior sources. I saw an excellent documentary on Amy Winehouse. I think we have an image of her coming up. Many of you remember Amy Winehouse and this Grammy award-winning singer. She died a tragic death at the age of 27 of an overdose. She joined what's just become known as the 27 Club. The 27 Club is a group of these artists that were just so talented, but they had troubled souls, and they died at the age of 27 or sooner. Some of the members of the 27 Club are guys like Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and they died some 25 years before their national average, right? That there was something troubling in their soul, and they believed that maybe that there was something out here that could fill, man, bring rest, bring shalom to my soul. And so Amy, like many of us, that we thought, oh yeah, there's going to be something that'll do it for me. If I could just get rich and famous, that would bring shalom to my heart. And here's the terrible thing, is that, man, six Grammys, money, fortune, and fame, it wasn't enough. It didn't fix the problem. It actually made it worse. And so what happens? Now through the pain of despair, she decides she wants to numb through drugs and alcohol. And here's the thing, man, coping mechanisms, drugs and alcohol, it's like a credit card. You get temporary relief, but there's compounding interest. it builds and gets worse and worse and worse until the weight of despair was too much. And Amy Winehouse would take her own life. And I love the account from her bodyguard the last night that she was on this planet. She was watching actually YouTube videos of herself singing. And she looked over to her bodyguard and she says, "You know what? I can sing. I can really sing." And the bodyguard's, "Of course, you're Amy Winehouse, you know?" And she says, "You know what?" And she goes to the window and she sees just average, normal people walking outside. She says, "I would give it all up, the Grammys and everything, if I could just be normal again and walk the streets." And that night, she overdosed and died. Can you feel, man, just the lack of shalom, people wanting to just find peace in their heart? And I got news for you. That's why the Prince of Peace came. Do you know, some 2,000 years ago, man, Jesus of Nazareth appears on the scene. Do you remember what happens? He rides into Jerusalem to all this triumphant praise. "Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest." And do you recall what Jesus rode into Jerusalem on? A donkey, a young donkey. Get this, and the Bible's clear, it had never been ridden before. And yet what happens? Have you ever tried to get on the back of a wild animal that's never been ridden before? They're not exactly accommodating, are they? I mean, that donkey should have lost its mind, but not when the Prince of Peace is riding on your back. Because when the Prince of Peace is with you, man, peace disseminates. There's calm, there's rest, there's shalom. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says this, he says that a man and his dog shortens the gap in the universe. Isn't that cool? In other words, like when an animal trusts a man, there's something of man, that the void in creation that's put back together again. And we feel this, don't we? That man, that there's all these movies made about, man, when an animal, be it a lion, a dog, man, a cat, whatever it might be, man, that starts trusting an animal, man, there's something that, man, it captivates us. Why? It's shalom. It's bringing us back to where we were supposed to be, back to Eden. Nothing broken and nothing lacking. Everything in harmony, working as it should. We read about it in Isaiah 65:25, the coming new heaven and new earth. It says in Isaiah that the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Did you get that? Man, at the end of time, in my holy mountain, man, nothing will destroy. There'll be nothing broken and nothing lacking. Do you know, the Apostle Paul, he was an expert at living some 26 feet deep. Man, he walked in the uncommon peace of God. And if you don't believe me, man, if you're not familiar with the Apostle Paul, he lived a very, very difficult, hard life. Let me just give you a snapshot of some of the stuff he endured. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death." Here we go. "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, lest one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea." And so if you ever feel like you're having a bad day, just read the life of Paul. You'll feel better about your day. And Paul, even after that shipwreck, he washes up on the shores of the island of Malta, and he's just trying to warm himself, and so he builds a fire, and as he builds the fire, a viper, this snake, comes out and bites him. But you know what Paul does? I would have thought Paul would lose his mind, but man, the uncommon peace of God dwelled within him. And do you know what he did? He shook it off, and he kept building the fire. In fact, it was so staggering to the natives of Malta that they said, "This man must be a god," right? And they wanted to worship him. Why? Because they saw this uncommon peace that marked the Apostle Paul's life. You know, later in the book of Philippians, he would say this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What is he saying? He says, man, when I am in Christ, I'm 26 feet deep and nothing and no one can affect me, right? And so Paul is going to show us and give us a glimpse of how to live 26 feet deep. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Paul says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. I'll read that again. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so, I don't know if you realize this. Do you know that Amazon Kindle, they actually release stats on the most underlined verse in the Bible? And do you know what it was? It was this, Philippians 4, verses, I think it was 6 through 7. It was the most highlighted verse in the Bible. Why? Because people long for peace. They want to know, how do I get to shalom? And so we got all these different remedies. In fact, I'll give you one. This was news to me. Did you know that Coca-Cola, before it was marketed as a soft drink, that they originally marketed as a remedy for anxiety? And so here's what you need to feel with me. Like one can of Coca-Cola has 10 teaspoons of sugar in it. It has 34 milligrams of caffeine. And that's going to be your anxiety relief? Yeah, good luck with that, bro. Let me give you a better relief to your anxiety. A better remedy for it is this. Paul, we read about it. He says, the Lord is at hand. It's this understanding and revelation that God is near to you, the God of the universe. I've heard it said this way, that anxiety is the result of temporary atheism. In other words, anxiety comes when we're unaware of the presence of God with us. In fact, I'll even prove it to you. Do you know, as you're reading through the Genesis narrative, Genesis 1 and 2, we see God is front and center in the narrative. Genesis 3 is the first time we read and we don't see God in the picture. And because of that, what happens? The serpent comes and he starts filling Eve with lies. Have you ever been there before? Like when you're just kind of, you're not aware of the presence of God with you. And what happens? This avalanche, this blitzkrieg of what if this, what if this, what if this, what if this? I mean, it all begins to bubble up in your heart and anxiety and stress starts to fill you. Well, I want to give you, man, a great counterpunch to the devil's what if, what if, what if. You need to counterpunch back with this, but God, but God. But God. Do you know some 48 times in your Bible, the Bible says this, but God did this, but God is with you. In fact, I'll just show you, I mean, some of the heroes of our faith, I mean, they were so anxious and stressful about all God had called them to do. Like Moses was called to deliver a nation. He's like, God, I don't speak good. I'm not doing that. And what did God say? But I will be with you. How about Joseph? Joseph, his life is on fire, man, that he's sold into slavery. He's lied about and thrown into prison. But do you know, in every circumstance, the Bible is clear about something. But God was with Joseph. But God was with Joseph. And what happened? Man, he would be raised up to become the prince of Egypt. How about this? The 10 spies. There were 12 spies that scouted out the promised land. 10 came back with an evil report of unbelief. They're like, man, the people are big there. There's giants in the lands. We look like grasshoppers to them. We can't do it. We can't do it. And what happened? Man, anxiety, the what ifs just kind of flooded the people of God. Yet two men of faith, two men said, but God is with us. But God is with us. And get this, man, years later, those two men, Joshua and Caleb, would enter the land of promise. Man, you got to counter the devil's what ifs, but God. Because if God is with you, man, who can be against you? So I would say this. Good theology is better than any pill, any Xanax, or anything else you can do. It's, man, good theology. Theology is simply the study of God. And when you have a right view of who God is that's near to you, man, it brings peace that passes all understanding. And so we have an image going up, and like this is kind of a throughout, man, the millennia, we get these pictures of Jesus, this kind of like effeminate, kind of soft. You're like, oh my gosh, man, the gates of hell are coming against me. Man, my life is just on fire, and that guy is supposed to save me? man, that doesn't give any comfort to me. But see, that picture is just bad theology. Do you know what it says that, man, when Jesus returns, the book of Revelation says this, man, that there's fire in his eyes and a sword coming out of his mouth. He's got a tattoo on his thighs, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he wipes out and destroys his enemies by the word of his power. It says in the book of Colossians that he holds everything together by his very word. Oh, now that God, man, can take anything. And if I know that God is with me and for me, what am I worried about? What am I anxious about? Man, anxiety, the what ifs, they start to fade away when you understand that that God is with me. Listen to how Isaiah says it in Isaiah 26:3. He says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trust in you." And as we keep our eyes and trust in God, man, the anxiety, fear, and stress will start to melt away. And Paul says this. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything." Really? About anything, Paul? Man, I'm like, bro, you got to tell me how you do that. And he does. He tells us how to do it in the text. He says, "But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. It's how we're not anxious about anything. And so let me share this. A number of years back, my family and I, we went on vacay to Cabo, man. Have you been to Cabo? Man, it is beautiful. That's the great thing about living in New Jersey. Man, wherever else you go on the planet, it's beautiful. But man, we went to Cabo and it was stunning. And we went to one of those all-inclusive places. So they give you like this bracelet and man, people got to serve you. Like I'm a pastor. I'm used to always serving people. Not there, man. I got the bracelet. I'm like, serve me, make much of me, right? And it's just this unlimited food, man. You just get there and it's probably sinful, but man, hey, man, I'm on vacation. And so I remember going there and man, I was feasting on the lox, the smoked salmon, man. I was eating it like three meals a day until I ate one batch that didn't agree with me too much. I remember walking to the beach and then broke out in a cold sweat and I'm like, uh-oh, I need to get back to the room, right? I remember just picking up the pace, getting there, and I lost an entire day of vacation worshiping the porcelain throne, if you know what I mean. Man, there was something on the inside of me that was rotten, and my body said, this stuff has got to get out of here, right? And so I spent the day vomiting that stuff up, asking Jesus to kill me. And, you know, in a very real way, man, that worry, stress, and anxiety, your soul feels that. Your soul says there is something rotten on the inside of you and you need to vomit that stuff out. Get it out of your soul. It's rotten. It needs to go. And so what we do in prayer, man, we vomit up our anxiety, our stress, our cares to God. We release it. The Bible says, let your requests be made known to God. Like, let it go and release it to God, the one who can handle it. Man, like David knew this. Like, we all know Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It's a beautiful psalm. But do you know that David also wrote Psalm 22? And do you know how it begins? My God, why have you forsaken me? What is he doing? But he's vomiting up the stress and anxiety. He would go on and he's like, man, evildoers encompass all around me. He says, I am scorned and despised and mocked by people. What? He's getting all of this stuff out of his soul and he's releasing it to the God who can handle it. You know, in Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19, man, he was the king of Judah, and the Assyrian armies had taken Judah and they surrounded the city of Jerusalem. If you don't know about the Assyrians, they were a wicked, cruel people. They mastered in torture. They learned how to fillet a man alive, right? And so the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, he gave the ultimatum, the terms of surrender to King Hezekiah, and he wrote them on a sheet of paper. Hezekiah, distraught. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. But he can go up. He can go up to God. And what is he took the surrender terms of Sennacherib. And here's what he did. He went into the temple, fell on his face, and threw these papers before the Lord. He says, Lord, it's this. This stuff is what I have a problem with. God, this stuff you have to fix. And as he did that, get this. He went to bed that night and the peace of God. And when he woke up the next morning, 186,000 Assyrian soldiers lied dead on the outside the walls of Jerusalem. The angel of the Lord defended him. See, it was the peace of God that protected and guarded his soul. And notice it says, let your prayers and supplication with thanksgiving. And I want to say this. Thanksgiving is the immune system for your soul. I'm going to say that again because I think it's important. Thanksgiving, gratitude, it is the immune system for your soul. And listen, I don't have to give you a Bible verse for it. You just got to Google it. Just Google the health benefits of gratitude and thanksgiving. And can I just give you some of them? Better sleep at night, lower blood pressure, it improves your mood. It strengthens your immune system and your digestive system. It improves sleep and reduces stress. Right? There's just all the variables for human flourishing go up when we decide that we're going to give thanks. I promise you, man, if you see all the things that thanks did, if it was a pill, wouldn't we all take one every day? Because what the benefits are so vast because of it. And so God says, man, just be thankful. Make it a point to be thankful each and every day. And God doesn't command us to be thankful for his benefit, because like he's some codependent God. You better say thank you to me. He does it for your benefit because it's good for our soul to give thanks. It's the immune system for our soul. And so for me, man, every morning when I start my day off in prayer, I just begin by with 5 to 10 minutes of, God, thank you for my home. God, thank you that I'm healthy. God, thank you that I can see and that I can hear, kind of, right? God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for my family. On and on it goes. Just all these things I'm grateful for. Some of you, you need to just get up every morning and you just need to write down 3 things you're grateful for. Just every day, 3 different things you're grateful for. And I challenge you to see if your soul doesn't thrive and the peace of God begins to rule on the inside of your heart. It helps us to go 26 feet deep. And so did you catch the promise that as we go to God, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, now the promise is what? The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Man, it's like the peace, the supernatural peace of God comes and goes to work on our behalf to guard our hearts and to guard our minds, right? And so, you know, in my church, there's an extremely large man that sits behind me. He's probably about 6'4", 6'5". I mean, I won't take a guess at how much he weighs, but man, he's a big dude. He may or may not be packing, okay? His name is Paul Masser. Good friend and buddy. All his friends call him Hack, which makes it even cooler. And Hack sits beside me. And listen, if you want to get to me, you got to go through that guy, all right? And you know what? When Hack is sitting behind me, man, I feel shalom, nothing broken and nothing lacking. Man, and that's what the peace of God does for us. Man, as we release our prayers, supplication with thanksgiving, the peace of God comes in and says, I'm going to guard your heart and I'm going to guard your mind. If you want to get to him and her, you got to go through me, says the Lord. And so, and then Paul ends it with this, with verse 8. He says, then finally, and then he's going to tell us. So in other words, man, now, like, let me put the cherry on top. This is what you need to do. Don't forget to do this. And he's going to say, think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. And so I just share briefly, do you know, this past Christmas, I received a Mando whole body deodorant and cologne. And I was like, my kid's trying to tell me something, right? But I don't know if you know this, man. It seems like to be all the rage now, man. They got Mando and Lume and Old Spice full body thing, man. It's like, man, you can deodorize your entire body. In fact, we spend like $5.7 billion a year on deodorant, right? And so here's my point. That as people, man, we are so aware of our personal hygiene and so unaware of our mental hygiene. Like we just allow all this crap, these anxious thoughts. There's a reason why they call it clickbait. They're trying to hook you in to kind of this negative news to stir fear and anxiety on the inside of us to get more clicks. And so whether you're feeding yourself with TikTok or Facebook, man, CNN, Fox, wherever you're at, you got to be able to realize You're creating stinking thinking in your mind. And Paul's big idea is, man, he wants to have, we need to have better mental hygiene. He says, think about what you're thinking about. What are you putting in to your mind, your soul, through, man, social media, TV, entertainment, all these different things. If you want to live an uncommon life of peace, if you want to live 26 feet deep, Paul says, man, you need to think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Fill your mind with the goodness and the beauty of God all around you. And if you do that, man, you will walk in uncommon peace. You'll walk 26 feet deep. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we could spend together today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I want to pray, God. I know this is a topic that touches many. And oh Lord, God, I pray for men and women, Lord, as they take whatever small step of faith towards you, I pray you, the King of God, would overwhelm them with your peace, which passes all understanding. Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray for those that are walking with you. May they be a sign and a wonder, Lord, as they walk in a chaotic world in the very peace of God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, come on, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.